And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. The story, Leiningen versus the Ants, begins in a minute.
I first met Leiningen while performing my duty as commissioner of the Todo Santo district along the upper reaches of the San Sisima River. As my boat neared its plantation landing, I saw him upon the riverbank regarding me with mild interest. A great hulk of a man with bristling gray hair, bulky nose, and lucid eyes. His entire appearance somehow suggested an aging and shabby eagle. I came quickly to the point of my visit and issued my warning. Leiningen puffed placidly at a huge cigar and seemed unimpressed.
Decent of you, paddling all this way just to give me the tip, Commissioner. But even a herd of crocodiles couldn't frighten me from my plantation.
No, 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 you don't understand. These aren't creatures you can fight. These are army ants. They're an elemental force. A gigantic catastrophe, an act of God. 10 miles long, 2 miles wide. Ants, nothing but ants. And each one as big as your thumb. They can strip a man's body to a skeleton in 6 minutes.
I'm not an old woman, Commissioner.
I tell you, Leiningen, you don't know these ants. But he sat there puffing at a cigar and regarded me with a grin, and I knew it was hopeless. As I boarded my launch and cast off, I felt a sudden resentment toward this obstinate old man. Yet with it was something else. I'd never met a man like him before. I could think of only one thing. One man, Leiningen. One man who calmly evaluated his chances against a deadly menace, coolly decided he could win, and was willing to stake his life on it. To risk a horrible death for it. It was terrifying. And yet it was fascinating. And when dawn came, I knew that the fascination of that man was more than I could resist. That Leiningen's fight was drawing my mind, drawing me back toward that plantation and death. And there was nothing I could do about it. I had to go back. It was 10 o'clock in the morning when I rounded the bend below Leiningen's plantation. I put in at the dock and tied up the launch. And I saw him standing on the bank above me, arms folded, stubby cigar in his mouth, and a sardonic grin on his face.
Back for another warning, Commissioner?
No.
Well, back to stay a while.
Yes.
Huh?
You don't seem very surprised.
I'm not.
You expected me?
I thought you'd be back. Come along, we'll get some horses. You'll want to ride around the plantation and take a look at the defenses I've rigged up.
Defenses? Oh, have you had time?
I've always known that sooner or later the ants would come.
Oh, well, yes. I'd like to see the defenses.
And the ants. We'll be getting a glimpse of them before long, I should think.
Yes, and the ants. The defenses Leiningen had devised were quite impressive. Surrounding three sides of the plantation like a huge horseshoe was a ditch 12 feet wide. The end of this ditch ran into the river, which formed the fourth side of the plantation. And at the upriver entrance to the ditch, Leiningen had constructed a dam by which river water could be diverted. A large hand wheel controlled the floodgate of the dam. We approached the ditch and rode along it. I could see it was nearly full.
How do you like my first line of defense, Commissioner?
It's reassuring, like a moat around a castle.
Unless the ants know how to build rafts, they won't reach the plantation. This is only the outer moat. There's a better one than this. Come along. We'll go up to the high ground where the buildings are. We can get a view from there.
Leiningen.
Yes?
I didn't see any women or children around the plantation or any animals.
That's right. Move them across the river.
And even you think there's danger, eh?
Not because of danger, Commissioner. It's a matter of efficiency.
Efficiency?
It cuts down on the efficiency of the men if they're worried about their families. Critical situations only become crises when oxen and women get excited. Oh, here we are. This ditch.
It's much smaller than the other.
You've noticed how all the buildings are on this high piece of ground here. This inner ditch surrounds them, and it's lined with concrete.
It's even filled with water. This is no barrier. It's not big enough. Why, if the ants got this far...
They'll get no farther. This ditch wasn't built for water, Commissioner. You see the pipes leading into it? You see those storage tanks up on the hill? Gasoline. We can throw up a wall of flame. Care to bet they won't like that? I dare say they won't. Hey, look, Commissioner. Over there on the horizon. There are your ants. Look at them.
It was a sight I'll never forget. Over the range of hills, as far as I could see, crept a darkening hem, ever longer and broader, until the shadow spread across the entire slope. Then downward, downward, uncannily swift. All the grass and bushes on the entire slope were being mown as by a giant sickle, leaving only the vast, moving shadow, extending, deepening, and moving rapidly near.
They're a hideous lot.
Mining it. We can't last against that. Look at them. They can fill your ditches with their corpses and still have enough to destroy every one of us. We've got to run for it.
No, they haven't gotten to us yet, and they never will. Come along, we'd best get back to the men.
The hostile army was approaching in perfect formation. Along a front that moved forward as uniformly as a straight line, the ants drew nearer and nearer to the water ditch. Across the scant 12 feet of the ditch, I stared at them, and they seemed to stare back at me. Around 4 in the afternoon, the ant scouts, having found no crossing, there was a stirring among the main army. And then an immense flood of ants, about 100 yards in width, commenced pouring in a glimmering black cataract down the far slope of the ditch. Thousands drowned instantly. The rest began using the bodies as bridges. Meiningen immediately swung into action.
Amayo!
Si, senor!
Get to the dam, open the floodgate wider, get the water in the ditch moving faster.
Si, senor!
Look at them drowned by the thousands. They keep coming. Even though the current carries many of them away, they're advancing.
We'll fix them, Blas.
Senor!
How about those shovels and petrol sprinklers? You pass them out to the men?
It is being done.
Then get all hands here in a hurry. This looks like the spot for action. All right, then. Busy with the shovels now. Dump some sand and cloths on them. See how they like that? Go with the petrol sprinklers. Start pumping. They don't like it, Commissioner. They don't like it a bit. Look at them.
Yes, but how about the ones on the far side of the ditch? Whole clumps of them rolling into the water. The rest are using them for bridges.
That's what's keeping them out. He should be at the dam by now.
Senor! The ant is crossing the ditch and clouds of earth. A few clouds of these side even now.
I see them.
Use your shovels on them, men. Clap the crawlers! What's the matter?
Into the pit, you idiot!
Felt your paws in the bathroom! Don't stop now, the rest of you! Problem!
Stand on in my finger! We must not!
You run now, you're doomed, every one of you! You've got to fight them back! Use your shovels! You're dead if you stop! So keep at it! Keep at it!
Ah! And now you've got the floodgate open. The water's moving faster!
Ah, look at the ants. They can't hold their own against the current now.
They're being washed away.
Look at them, Commissioner. We beat them. We've won.
It was true. Meiningen had won, at least the first round. The floodgates were left open to forestall any night crossing. I allowed myself to hope that the ants would go on, pass us by. But when dawn came, the dark blanket was still there, motionless across the ditch. Then we noticed a feverish activity on the other side of the plantation. Here, a grove of tamarind trees lined the far end of the ditch, and every tree swarmed with the crawling insects. But instead of eating the leaves, they were merely gnawing through the stems, so that a thick green shower fell steadily to the ground. Well, it looks as if it's feeding time for our friends, eh?
Blast. Yep. Have all the petrol pumps brought here and get everyone over here except the lookouts on the other side. Then pass out the shovels.
Yes, senor.
You're going to deprive them of a meal?
Meal?
Aren't they cutting down the leaves for food?
I wish they were.
What do you mean?
I said if they wanted to get across, they'd have to have raft. And that's just what they've got. Those leaves are their raft.
Tumbling down the far bank by the thousands. The current drew them away from the bank, and each leaf carried several ants.
Don't worry. As long as you keep spraying them and shoveling dirt on their rafts, they can't land.
But there will be too many.
It's true. Look, more leaves in the ditch all the time. Or they'll have a solid carpet to walk across in a minute.
Not so fast, Commissioner. I've still got a trick up my sleeve for them.
They were!
The ditch is drying up.
Of course it's drying up. That's the plan. Those are the orders I sent to the dam.
Are you mad? As soon as it's empty, what's to prevent the answer? Look, the water's way down. It's almost dry. They'll be able to come across the bottom.
They'll not make it if the man at the dam carries out his orders. He should have opened the gates again by now.
What, to flood the answer?
Right.
What a chance to take if anything should happen.
Ah, there comes the water. Now we'll give the crawlers in the ditch a good ride. Out into the river. There. Look at them go.
Lanigan's tactics were successful at first. The violent flow of water raced through the ditch, overwhelming leaves and ants, and sweeping them along. Three times the ditch was emptied, three times the ants raced across the bottom, and three times the water arriving just in time carried them away. But the fourth time, as the water lowered nearly to the bottom of the ditch, we waited in vain for the running water. And then...
Senor!
What's the matter? What's gone wrong at the dam?
The ants! Just as the man at the dam lower the water almost at the bottom, the ants attacked the dam. And before he could open the floodgate, he was almost surrounded. He ran. The ants kept coming. They are across the ditch.
Leiningen stood motionless, absorbing the news of his defeat without a word. Then he raised his pistol and fired three shots into the air. The prearranged signal for all the men to retreat instantly to the second line of defense. The concrete-lined ditches 2 miles from the point of invasion. Soon after we arrived there, the natives commenced straggling in silently. Leiningen waited until all of them had gathered, and then he spoke to them.
Well, lads, we won the first round and lost the second. But we'll smash the crawlers yet. For the moment, we're safe.
Return for the concluding act of Suspense.
Well, we were safe for the moment. But the next morning, the black swarm was solid around us, and their shock troops were hard at work. They're dropping shreds of bark and twigs and leaves into the petrol-filled ditches, forming a floating bridge across the surface of the liquid. Leiningen stood silently watching this operation, and I could see a grudging admiration in his face. And then after several hours, the attack came. Down the ditch they poured, thousands of them, and across the bridge of twigs, rapidly approaching the inner side. Leiningen sat motionless watching them. Leiningen, for the love of God, don't just sit there like a statue. They'll be on us in a moment.
Let them kill us first. Now, all right. Everyone back from the ditch. Fast, hand me the torch. Now we'll see how our friends like a little heat around them.
Flames from the ditch shot into the air, devouring ants by the million. For some time before the petrol burned down the bed of the ditch. And when it did, the devils came back for more. Again, Leiningen fired the ditch to destroy them. And still again, they came on. Firing the task of the ants grew easy because of the film of ash which now covered the petrol. And as they returned to the assault time after time, a slow, sickening horror crept into my mind. I looked quietly at Leiningen and then at the gasoline tank. He read my gaze and nodded slowly.
That's right, Commissioner. We could hold them off forever if our supply of petrol was unlimited. But it isn't. We've got enough to fill the ditch once more.
And then...
Bikuru! Come back!
He jumped the ditch. He'll never make it to the river.
Bikuru, come back!
Merciful God, he's too late.
Blast, keep the men back with your gun. Don't let anyone else try for the river.
Leiningen, isn't there any way? Any way at all? We got to do something.
There
we just have
to... There must be a way. There must be. Yes. Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
What is it?
We'll flood the whole plantation.
Flood, how?
We've got to close the floodgate at the dam. That'll do it.
Well, you're mad. The dam's nearly 2 miles away. 2 miles of ash.
Blast, listen to me. Now, listen. I'm proud of you. Now, there's still a chance. By shutting the floodgates in the dam and flooding the whole plantation from the river. The moment I'm over the ditch, set fire to it. That'll allow time for the flood to wash away the ants.
then all you have to do is wait for me.
It's impossible. You can't get to the dam, let alone get back.
That's where you're wrong, Commissioner. I'll get there, and I'll be back. Take care of things while I'm gone, huh?
I watched him as he calmly pulled on high leather boots, drew gauntlets over his hands, and stuffed the spaces between breeches and boots, gauntlets and arms with petrol-soaked rags. He shielded his eyes with close-fitting mosquito goggles and plugged his nostrils and ears with cotton. Then the natives drenched his clothes with petrol. Leiningen was ready. And as he stood calmly surveying the course he must take,
that dam was near the ditch ready for the run, I realized this was as it should be. I, Leiningen, would meet the ants and defeat them or be defeated by them. Leiningen versus the ants. I ran long, equal strides with one thought, one sensation in my being. I must get through. I dodged all trees and shrubs, except for the split seconds when my soles touched the ground, the ants would have no opportunity to alight on me. I ran off. I was halfway to the dam before I felt ants under my clothes with a few on my face. It struck at me, mechanically, scarcely conscious of their bite. The dam drew toward me slowly, the distance less, less. Finally, only 100 yards away, 50, and then I was there. I gripped the ant-covered wheel, but hardly had I seized it when a horde of ants flowed over my hands and my arms. I strained, and slowly the wheel turned and turned more. The floodgates were swinging slowly shut, and then it was shut, and the water was rising behind the breakwater, closer to the top, closer, and then it was spilling over. The flooding of the plantation had begun. I let go of the wheel. For the first time, I realized I was pelted from head to foot with a fiend. Stones of fire stabbed me when they fit into my flesh. Then I could see dimly that wall of flame at the ditch. It was too far away. I could not last half that distance. I stumbled. I fell. I felt myself being swarmed over, devoured. I tried to rise. Great weight. And then I remembered. 6 minutes. Then nothing but bones. I couldn't let that happen to me. I couldn't die like that. My feet dragged myself forward toward the flame, the ditch, the ring of flame. Closer now, only a little farther.
And we had waited for hours when all at once through the blazing ring around us, an apparition hurtled and fell full length on the ground. Leiningen, alive with ants, unconscious, with glazing eyes and a lacerated face. We rushed to him, stripped off his clothes, and tore at the ants that covered him. His body seemed almost one open wound. In one place I could see the white of a bone. Later, as the curtain of flame lowered, I looked out where the blanket of ants had been and saw only a vast expanse of water covering the entire plantation. The ants were gone. Drowned, and Leiningen had won. He lay on his bed, his body swathed from head to foot with bandages, but Leiningen was still alive.
Everything in order.
They're gone. The ants are gone.
I told you that I'd come back, even if I am a bit streamlined.
And then this aging man grinned, shut his eyes, and quietly fell asleep.
Suspense. You've been listening to Leiningen and the Ants, a story by Carl Stevenson, written for Suspense by Robert Riff. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense. Story were Louis Van Ruten as Leiningen, and Martin Blaine as the commissioner. Also included in the cast were Ralph Camargo, Ronald Dawson, and Sam Raskin. Again next week, when we return with an explosive story written by Peter Fernandez, The Dynamite Run, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense on CBS Radio.